How can you not be moved? Such a powerful, profound message. It's amazing the things that the Word of Life gives us on His special day that He made for us. We can recall back in Deuteronomy 16, when God was telling the Israelites, His people, about sacrificing, taking a lamb from the herd, and we worship a shepherd who chose to become a lamb. He told the Israelites, you shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days, which is what we're finishing off today, right? 7 days you shall eat it. That is the bread of affliction. The bread of affliction. For you came out of Egypt in haste, that you may, and that is why we are here, to remember this day. You are, and we are, to remember this day that you came out of Egypt. Remember the day that you came up out of sin. The day you came up out of the water. He told them to remember the day they came out of sin, out of Egypt. All the days of your life, you are to remember that. And we are reminded also in John 1 that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word, this Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, at the right hand of God. Everything was made through Him. Nothing was made that was not made through Him. And in Him was life. God chose to give life to everything through His Son, our Shepherd, our Savior, the Word. In Him was life, and He was the life. His life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. That darkness that Howard was telling us about. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't overcome it. Verse 12 in John 1, as many as received Him, to them, to those of us who received Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. Children of the Word. To those who believe in His name. To those who believe in His name. The Word. Jesus was telling them in John chapter 6, you're not looking for me because you're only looking for me because you saw the signs in John 6:26. Not necessarily the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. He had just fed the 4,000 and the 5,000. And He told them, don't labor for the food that perishes, but labor for the food that endures to everlasting life. If we eat the Word, we are eating the bread of life. We are eating the word of everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because the God, the God, our Father, has set his seal on him. In John 6:28, the disciples said, "Well, what should we do that we can do the works of God?" And Jesus said to them, "This is the work of God," in verse 29, "that you believe in him who he sent." Believe in him in the name of him, in the word of him that God sent. If we believe in the word, we have eternal life. And they were talking about their fathers eating manna in the desert and how he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus told them, most assuredly, in verse 32, "Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Yes, the manna came from the sky, but the true bread of heaven, Jesus said that the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He is the word of eternal life. That is the bread that we should be eating, not only during the days of unleavened bread, but all year long. This time, this day, this last week, is just a reminder of what we need to be doing every day. Getting rid of that leaven of the Pharisees, Mr. Sagley mentioned, that leavening of hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It's pretending. The definition of hypocrisy is pretending to be something or someone you're not, or pretending to do things that you don't really do from the heart. The disciples said to Jesus, when he was telling them the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, they said, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you've seen me and yet you don't believe." He told them, "You've seen me, but you don't believe." He was accusing them of not believing in him and in the one whom, from whom he was sent. "All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will." I, the Word, came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will. What we're wondering, he's going to do the will of the one who sent him. Now he's going to tell us, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that he has given to me, all that he gives to the Word, all of those who eat the living Word, that I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last day. All of those who eat the Word of eternal life will, even if we die in this physical body, he will raise up at the last day, having eternal life. He He says, I will raise him up at the last day. Most assuredly, I say to you, John 6:47, he who believes in me, he who believes in the word has everlasting life. I am the bread of life, he said. He told them flat out, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, that bread that came down from heaven, but they died. But he said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, John 6:51, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He was planning, he was telling them what he was planning to do by doing his Father's will. And the Jews were quarreling among themselves. How can this man give him his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, verse 53, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You'll just die and be gone forever. But whoever, in verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, Jesus, the Word, said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will, he repeats, I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. We abide in Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of his Father. And he says, not only that, but I abide in him. He is within each of us, and we know that happens by virtue of his Holy Spirit, that he returned to the Father so that he could send that to us, so that he could live in us by his Spirit. So we eat the word of eternal life, which is the bread of sincerity and truth, as Jesus said in Matthew 7. Additionally, he said in John 14, verse 13 and 14, he told his disciples, as he tells us through reading his word, what a blessing that he's preserved this word for us all these years later. He said, whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask in the name of the word, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. He said, I will do this. Whatever you ask in my name, which implies according to his will, that he will do, that his Father might be glorified in the actions brought about by the Word, Jesus Christ, the Son. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ask anything in my name, I will do it. And he said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance. That's why we gather every year at this time during this sacred holy day season, to be reminded by the Holy Spirit living in us, as he abides in us as well. And The Spirit will teach you all things and bring to remembrance everything that I said to you. Everything I told you will be brought to your remembrance by the Holy Spirit. What determines the fruit? Do the branches determine what kind of fruit they're going to bear? John 15:5, we're told by Jesus, he said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can't do anything. If anyone doesn't abide in me, he's cast out like a branch that's withered, and they'll gather them and throw them into the fire, and they get burned up. But if you abide in me," he said, "and my words abide in you," John 15:7, "you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." The vine is the one that causes the branches to bear much fruit. As they abide, the branches abide in the vine, so you will be my disciples. John 15:16, he said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. The vine chose the branches. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. He's telling us that he has a plan that's designed that we bear fruit and our fruit will be lasting fruit, that fruit that makes an impact on everyone with whom we interact. You should go and bear fruit and your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Because Jesus Christ, the Word, is there interceding at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And his Father understands what we are going through because he is right there at his right hand explaining to him what they're going through, what we're going through. He said, "I, the Word, was there. I know what they're dealing with. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." In John 17, as we were reading at the Passover, "I manifested your name to the men." Jesus was praying to his Father about the disciples. He said, I revealed your name, your identity, your reputation, who you are, to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Verse 11 of chapter 17, he said, I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Can we imagine the feeling? He's there praying in the garden to his Father. I'm coming back to you. His feeling at that instant, and his Father's feeling, my son is coming back. Because he gave his life for the world. I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name, through the power of your name, his Spirit, keep those whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are one. Jesus was asking God, his Father, that we would be one with them as Jesus is one with his Father. How profound is that? And he said to them, I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. He said to his Father, I am praying that you would allow me to be in them as the living word. After 8 days later, they were in a room together with the disciples, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus showed up. He came, even though the doors were shut, he appeared to them and stood in their midst instantaneously. And he said, peace to you. John 20, verse 27, he said, Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand in here and put it into my side. Don't be unbelieving, but be believing that I, the Word, gave my life for you, for each one of you, disciples. He gave his life for all of them. He said to Thomas, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. It just then hit him who this dear friend was. And Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Now, hold on to your hats. Are you sitting down? Blessed are you. Blessed are you, those who have not seen and yet have believed. We have not seen him, yet we believe. We believe. And because of that, right here, Jesus Christ commanded that we have a special blessing because of that belief, because of our faith in the Word, in his name, in who he is, and his Father. We have this special gift of his Spirit and this blessing that he commanded right here. And John was writing, and he said, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe. All that John was writing, he said, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, our Savior, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Because of your faith and your belief in his name, you have eternal life. At this point, it's appropriate to think back on the words of Jeremiah as recorded in chapter 29, verse 11. He God told him to write these words down, and he did. Jeremiah 29:11, he said, "For I," God said, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Eternal." The Lord says, "I know what I think about you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace." Just like Jesus said in John, "My peace I leave with you." God, way back in the days of Jeremiah, said, "I think thoughts of peace toward you. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." That's God's plan. Those are God's thoughts toward us. And he sent his son, the Word, to see that this could be carried out, because he gave his life for us, for his Father's plan, so that his Father's plan could be completed in the fact that he wants to give us a future and a hope. And we know that's in the form of his Spirit and in the form of the oneness that we will all share when he brings his kingdom, the kingdom of our Savior and his Father, to give you a future and a hope. "And you will call on me and go and pray to me," God was saying through Jeremiah. "You will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you." The God of the universe is listening to our every prayer, our every word, because of our faith in him, looking to him, trusting in him. "I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. These are the reasons we, with joy, keep this memorial, this remembrance of what God did with his inheritance, his people, bringing them out of sin, out of Egypt. And he's doing the same with us as we yield to him and his Spirit. And we celebrate this holy day season, eating the unleavened bread, the Word of eternal life, because of his instructions and the plans that he is keeping with us. Have a wonderful, blessed, holy day.